A reading from Exodus chapter 6. But the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will send them out, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land." God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from Galatians chapter 4. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from John chapter 8. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say, 'You will become free'?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." O Lord, have mercy on us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. There are, I think, few things more repulsive, few things more reprehensible and repugnant to us, dear ones, as 21st century Americans than slavery, and for good reason. It is, of course, a very sad and sobering reality of our fallen world that mankind has seen many, many grotesque and ungodly forms of enslavement for thousands of years, and even today, with the horrific crime against humanity that is human trafficking, and all the evil that comes along with that. Needless to say, the very idea of being forcibly bound, restricted, restrained, and held captive to someone with malevolent intent, or being enslaved to some thing like a substance, alcohol, or narcotics. This should make us all very uneasy, to say the least, especially because of how easy such things can upend our whole life and destroy us, both within and without. But dear ones, let me ask you, what could be more wretched? What could be more terrible than being delivered and set free from such bondage and enslavement, only then to go right back into it and willingly submit to it again? What could be worse than that? Just think of the Israelites in the desert longing to go back into Egypt, where they endured such harsh and bitter treatment for so many years as slaves. Or you could think of the phenomenon known as Stockholm Syndrome, for example, when people who have been kidnapped or held hostage may somehow develop emotional bonds with their captors. They may even begin to miss and admire their captors after being set free. Truly, what a wretched condition it is to desire to turn away from one's freedom and voluntarily embrace enslavement. And that is, in essence, a key overarching point that St. Paul makes in his great epistle to the Galatian Christians of the first century. And it's a point we are right to ponder as well, because of the all-surpassing value and worth of our redemption in Jesus Christ and the freedom of the sons of God we've all come into as the baptized, since God himself has adopted us in Christ Jesus, his beloved Son. Dear ones, just to give you some context and refresh your memory, the ancient Gentile Christians in Galatia were being taught by certain Jewish teachers over and against St. Paul that to be authentically Christian, to be truly blessed and have the status of the true sons of Abraham, they needed faith in Christ, to be sure, but they also needed to obey the Mosaic law, like the Jewish people did in the days of old. These rival teachers said that faith in Christ was good, to be sure, but it wasn't good enough. They taught that the Gentile Christians must also come under the law and do what it stipulates, what it commands and requires, such as keeping certain dietary restrictions, being circumcised and obeying or observing certain festive days and months and years, all of it necessary to be counted among the blessed sons of Abraham. And all of this somehow seeming convincing to the Galatian church at the time, to which the Apostle Paul thunders in response, "O foolish Galatians," he says, "who has bewitched you? It is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham." And St. Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, begins masterfully demonstrating that no Christian, no one who has been redeemed by Christ the Crucified, ought to return to the Mosaic law and be subservient to it, as in the days of old, because that would be a return to enslavement. It would be to turn away from the freedom of the sons of God in Christ back into captivity and bondage. Here's what he says in chapter 3, leading up to our text in chapter 4. St. Paul pulls no punches here. He unequivocally tells the Galatians, and all of us by extension, all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law and do them." Paul goes on to say that the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, and that before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. Such is dear ones, the crushing burden of life for sinners under the weight and yoke of the law, laboring in vain to keep it, working so hard and toiling to no avail. The law was our guardian, Paul says, which is as much as to say that the law was set over us, binding us, restricting us until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. And dear ones, this is the goal. This is what St. Paul is striving so hard to reach. It's what he's so desperate to get across in the fourth chapter, our text today. That when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons, God's own sons, in faith. At long last, dear ones, the fullness of time has come. A new era has dawned on us in Jesus Christ. And no longer are we held captive and imprisoned as condemned slaves under the Mosaic law. Because at the right time, God's own Son, despite being the supreme Lord over the law, nevertheless humbled himself and submitted to it for our sake, keeping it in its entirety, even becoming a curse for us to redeem us and set us free. You know, the Greek word for redemption in our text is the verb ex agorazo. And in it you can hear the word agora, the marketplace. And like Dr. Luther says, this is what Christ has done for us. He's purchased and won us from sin, from death, and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death on the cross. Dear ones, look at what it took for this to happen. Count the cost together with me. Because for God our Father to redeem us, lost and condemned slaves, he gave his Son, the most precious thing he has. And now by faith in him, we have undergone a radical change in status. We have gone from being lowly slaves to sons, with the Spirit of God's Son sent into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We have been redeemed. We have now received adoption as sons in God by faith. Just picture a lowly man bound in chains, not only being set free from his miserable bondage and condition, but also even adopted, given formal legal status and standing as a son of a kind, powerful, and wealthy Lord, one ruling over a vast royal estate. Who in their right mind would turn away from this? Who in their right mind would want to forsake such a Lord and all that he's done and then return to their chains once more? Who would do that? Well, believe it or not, that's where the Galatian Christians were headed if they continued following the course they were on. And that's where we'll all be headed, dear ones, if we turn away from faith alone in Christ alone and the redemption we have in him. Surely we must instead turn away from a life of sin and living in wickedness and passionate lust, because even if it appears as though embracing that way of life would be embracing true freedom, in reality, all who do so are embracing their own enslavement and the crushing curse and condemnation of God's law. May it never be for us. May it never be, dear ones. For us, those days are over. And as I said before, in Christ, a new day has dawned. You are baptized sons of God and heirs of the kingdom, not slaves. Not you. You have the honor of knowing God as your own Father. and living as his own children, faithful and free all the days of your life, the new life that we've been given in Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer, to whom is all glory forever and ever. Amen.